Hello, and welcome to Effing Etiquette, unqualified advice for how to live your life, a podcast that aims to teach you a little something, maybe make you laugh, and to help you navigate treacherous social situations. I am Kelly Hurd, and I'm here with my bestie,
Laura Slipsky.
And this is our first episode.
Yep, first one. Now, technically, we already recorded it. We had to redo the intro because, well, just trust us. We're learning the ropes of podcasting, and we're getting better every minute. And before I forget, I wanted to say that at the end of this episode, I'm going to give you a website address instead of our email address. I didn't go and fix that because we were on such a roll.
Yeah.
That I didn't want to mess that up. But if you want to contact us via email, it's effingetiquette@gmail.com.
That's right. And if you need to Google how to spell etiquette, don't be embarrassed. I've spelled it about 5 different ways and keep reminding myself that the G is silent.
Perfect. I like that. No one will ever be able to email us. Should we talk real fast about what is etiquette? As compared to manners, and why should we care about either one?
Sure. Etiquette is basically a code of conduct, something a group agrees on. Manners, that's more how a person behaves, an individual. They are definitely linked.
Right. Like, holding a door open for someone is going to be considered good etiquette, but you could still do it with bad manners. Like the time that lady said to me, "You're welcome," before I could say thank you.
That still haunts you, doesn't it?
It does. And that's a good segue into why etiquette and manners are important. I think that at the core, the goal is to make people feel comfortable, especially people who might be suffering from social anxiety or who maybe overanalyze things. Not that we have any experience with that. But, yeah, it's about being comfortable because you're not offending someone, or just be comfortable because everyone knows what's expected of them.
Yeah. Being considerate is a win-win. Okay, that's the intro. What's next? Ooh, episode!
So what are we talking about today, Kelly?
Today we are talking about something that I feel like a lot of people can relate to: wedding etiquette.
Do you mean wedicket?
Wedicket?
We didn't rehearse that.
No, that wasn't a thing that happened. Yeah, wedicket. So, this wedding etiquette, you can think about it from a lot of different areas. There is the etiquette of planning a wedding. There's the etiquette of being a guest at a wedding. And then all the events and gift giving and whatnot. So there are just so many different areas that where you can piss someone off by doing the wrong thing.
Yeah, there's a lot of places where it could go wrong.
Yeah. Great material for us. So you have actually had a wedding.
Yes.
It went great.
Thank you.
Other people's not so much. But you did your wedding in October, so it was cool.
Yeah.
Literally.
And
it was cool.
Yeah, and we had like a meal around a mealtime instead of like, we're having a wedding at 3 in the afternoon, and you can eat some carrots.
Well, I think that might be a nice idea if you are trying to keep your budget lower, like to do it between meals. You certainly wouldn't want to do it at a mealtime and not serve food.
That would be bad etiquette.
You know what? You're going to get hangry guests.
They're not going to dance.
They're not going to give gifts. They're going to go open up that tray of cookies they brought you as off your registry and just eat it.
So, how often do people put cookies on the registry?
I don't know.
I missed that opportunity.
Well, you know, I've never been married. But, you know, I often think, what would I put on my wedding registry? You know, I have a full house full of stuff. So why not a tray of cookies? That's something I don't currently have.
Yeah. Makes sense. Yeah. Makes sense. I thought you were going to say, I've never been married, but I often register at different places.
Would that work? Could I just go around and register, and then maybe someone picks the wrong registry at some point, and I just start getting presents randomly?
you know, a name as common as yours. You should.
I'm just going to start registering as Kelly Smith everywhere. Yeah. And just, you know, maybe sometimes I get that Williams-Sonoma box on my front porch.
Sure.
So, I did really extensive research to get ready for this episode, by printing off this article 5 minutes ago. I wanted to run it by you since you actually have all the experience in our duo of being married, of some wedding etiquette tips that they're saying people don't need to follow anymore. And reading through this, my personal thought was, really? Really? How would you feel about this as a bride? Okay, so rule number one, your gift should cover the cost of your plate. Have you heard that rule?
No.
I have heard that rule. And then I also, if you were bringing a plus one, you should factor that in.
Oh.
So in my head, I've always tried to gift, like, well, they probably spent this much on my plate, I'm gonna add a little more on, you know. That's, usually when I go to a wedding, I care about the person.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that's a nice idea. I have no idea what the cost of the plate was per person at my wedding. It probably would have been more expensive than I would expect anyone to get a gift.
So you think that this is a rule that people don't need to follow anymore?
I think that you should always get someone a wedding gift. Because especially if you're attending the wedding and they are paying for you, I don't think you necessarily have to like calculate how much their expenses for you to be there, but go in their registry and get something for them.
Because weddings can end up being quite expensive for guests as well as
the actual
like, people getting married.
A lot of people traveled to my wedding because my family is kind of all over the place in the States. And then there's people who are like, let's get married where no one lives.
Mm-hmm.
Like, let's go to Hawaii or Mexico. And those destination weddings, I feel like if you're a guest there, that's the gift.
Right. Because you're factoring in airfare, hotels, meals while you're away from your own home.
Yeah, unless they're doing some kind of, like, amazing, all-inclusive, we're paying for everything. This is, like, a wedding camp that you're going to. But, yeah, most of the time I would think you're kind of, you're getting yourself there.
Okay, so now I actually, if I ever get married, I actually do want to make it wedding camp and have, like, different activities. Like, there's going to be an arts and craft hour, and then maybe, like, a movie showing at some point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, hey, if you're not into the line dancing, then Jaws is showing in the next room, so.
So line dancing would be one of the activities?
Sure. You know?
Learning something new about you.
Interactive, burn some calories. Maybe my mom could do a pickleball demonstration. Like.
A what now?
Pickleball.
Oh, okay, that game that women around here are playing?
Also men.
Okay.
So, yeah. She's told me that she is really good at pickleball, so I don't know why she would lie about that.
Well, she played tennis.
And racquetball.
And is it kind of like those sports?
There's a racket.
Okay.
And either a pickle or a ball. I have never seen it done. So.
They just take tennis balls soaked in vinegar and hit them at each other?
Yeah. Like, sprinkle a little dill on it, toss it at your enemy. I don't know how it works. The second rule you're allowed to ignore is you should only buy a gift from the registry.
If you're not going from the registry, right, you should definitely think about what it is that you're buying them. Is it something that they have registered for and now they're going to end up with like two toasters?
Yeah.
That's now you're giving them a chore.
Yeah, I personally feel pretty strongly that you should only buy gifts from the registry, or if you don't want to do that, you know what Laura Slipsky's favorite gift is?
Cash.
Cold hard cash, man. Just make it easier for them. Maybe you see something on the registry, but then you see it on sale somewhere else, so you get it, but somebody else has bought it off the registry. So make sure you like go back and mark that you actually purchased it, if there's a way to do that. Because again, you don't want people with multiple things. Another outdated guest rule, sitting on the correct side of the aisle.
You have strong feelings about this?
I don't, because I'm actually not sure which side is which.
Yeah, I don't know either, and in a situation like our wedding, we have a lot of friends.
Yeah.
Who like, are friends with both of us.
Can you make them pick sides?
Yeah, like, we were friends before we got married, so you can't even...
I mean, let's be clear, I definitely went to your side.
You didn't get to sit down.
No, I did not. And then I had to hold your bouquet.
Yeah, which was like 20 pounds.
Here's a pro tip. If you're going to be holding a bouquet of artichokes, do some light like arm workouts for the few weeks preceding the wedding, just to get ready for that.
Yeah, and I guess from the bride's perspective, if you're getting some kind of like crazy produce-based bouquet, think about your maid of honor. She'll have to hold it a lot longer than you do.
Yeah, I'm like, keep smiling. Oh my gosh, professional photographer's here. But yeah, I could do it now. I can do up to one pull-up now. Yeah, so
I saw that.
I'd be able to handle that artichoke. All single guests must participate in the garter or bouquet toss.
That brings up a whole thing.
Why are there still garter and bouquet tosses?
Yes. As you noticed, I'm sure, at my wedding, we didn't do that. And when I've been to weddings where they do, especially the garter, I remember being a kid and going to a wedding and they did that, just being like, what is happening? Why is this okay?
It's scandalous to a small child to, like, see a woman basically plop down in a chair in the middle of a room with a strange man, like, going up into her nether regions. It's like, no, 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 no.
Is it a strange man?
Yeah.
Strange to her?
Single men at weddings are always strange men.
But who gets it off her leg? Is it the groom?
Okay, so the bride sits down and the groom takes off the garter.
Yeah.
And then he throws it to a bunch of creepy guys who are all like, you know, that uncle who doesn't show up that often. The creepy guy takes the garter and puts it on the leg of whoever catches the bouquet.
Oh.
Yeah.
And have you ever seen the guy take it off her leg with, like, his teeth?
Yes! Yes, I have, as a small child.
But
at a family function.
It's just, like, it's yucky. And I think we're just past the point where that makes sense anymore, because it's treating the bride like she's a decoration. You know? Yes. Like, she's a prop. And, like, pulling up her dress, it's just not okay.
Now, I will say this. If someone wanted to show up and then gender role reverse that, and someone was going to put a garter on the groom,
mm-hmm.
I would watch.
Just inching up that pant leg.
Or over it. Whatever. A little over the pant action. So, not only do I think that all single guests should not participate in those, I don't think that weddings should have those.
No, I don't think you should do that to your single guests. Like, maybe if you're 20 years old and getting married and your friends are all 20 years old. Okay, I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe that's something that's fun for them. But if you're getting married in your 30s like I did, do not do that to your 30-something single friends. That's just...
humiliating.
Humiliating. Yeah, I've been on the other side of that. I was so embarrassed.
Yeah, because it ends up being, like, a couple sad women, not sad until that exact moment, in yeah. their 30s.
Made
and
sad.
And then, like, a few divorced ladies who have had several wine spritzers. And then, like, a bunch of children.
Yeah, it's like 7-year-olds.
Yeah.
They're like, I'm single! It's like, yeah, you're single.
Yeah, this is...
you're in the single digits.
Insert country where that would be appropriate. Also, bouquet toss... your bouquet would have knocked someone out. That would, like...
yes, once again, the amount of money that we spent on the flowers. I don't want to throw that around.
Yeah, I mean, that it was heavy and pokey.
Yeah, I don't know what happened to my bouquet after the wedding.
Someone probably, you know, cooked it, put a little butter on it, had a snack.
Yeah, probably.
That could be a fun tradition, though, like...
to eat the bouquet?
Yeah, maybe not fun. Maybe weird. But, like, after the wedding, you have to eat your bouquet for good luck. Women should not wear black dresses.
Outdated.
Yeah, definitely outdated. I mean, I wore black to your wedding.
Our flower girl wore black.
Yeah.
Well, I did get married on Halloween.
Yeah.
Black is slimming. If it's an evening wedding.
If you're planning on dancing while holding a glass of red wine, you're, you know, eliminating the possibility that there are going to be a lot of stains that people can see. Men should always wear suits or tuxes.
Really depends on the wedding you're going to.
It does.
To.
And so that's, I guess, part of wedding etiquette is figuring out what to wear to this event that you are clearly going to be photographed at. If you're a guy and you show up in jeans, you're getting some mental hate mail.
Unless it's like a cowboy ranch themed wedding.
True. For the line dancing portion of my wedding,
yeah,
jeans will be encouraged.
They'll be, yeah, extremely appropriate. It's good to say on your invitation what kind of, you know, party it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you expect everyone to wear tuxedos, then say it's black tie. If it's going to be a line dance party, let people know. So Kelly, have you been to any weddings that were just like weird or kind of out of control or?
Weird? Yes. The wedding that sticks out in my mind as being the worst, and it wasn't the worst because of any planning issues, and I don't know that this is ever going to make an internet list for do's and don'ts for weddings, but I would say in general, if you're going to get married to a woman who has the exact same name as your murdered wife...
Okay.
And then send out invitations to your children announcing a marriage that looks like their father is marrying their dead mother, things start to unravel from there. So if you're in that situation and you do meet and fall in love with someone that is going to be upsetting for any kind of reason to your family, I would recommend skipping the wedding and going straight to an elopement. Because what happens is your children show up to support you and constantly hear the names of their dead mother, and then they just cry and get really sad.
So everyone was, like, crying at this wedding?
It was not good.
Were you there?
I was there. I'm the granddaughter in this situation. So my role in this wedding was making sure that my mother always had a glass of alcohol in her hand. So that was my function. I was very happy. To serve it.
Had people in the family met the bride before the wedding day?
Yes, they had.
So they knew that he was seeing someone with the same name?
Yes. I mean, it was my grandfather, so let's say he's, what, 70 years old? They throw a wedding, and her three children are there, and his three children are there, and then she walks in, and she's, you know, 70 years old, wearing this super poofy Cinderella dress, and... It was weird. It was not appropriate. It's like, your grandmother... I mean, she'd been married several times. He had been married several times. Twice. To a Shirley Ann. So.
First and middle name was the
first
same?
First and middle.
That's
yeah,
rough.
It was. It was rough. Her children were very nice people. I was surprised by what they showed up wearing. They were... You know, like, what are we, white people?
Yeah.
One of them showed up wearing a white gown.
Okay.
Which, I'm pretty sure that's reserved for the bride, but since it was her mom, I'll let her mother pick that fight with her. And another one showed up wearing a sari with, like, a bare midriff. And I was surprised by that as well.
Was she married to someone who was Indian?
No. They were from Florida. Like, just, you know.
White people from Florida?
White people from Florida.
Huh.
Yeah, I mean, it was a pretty sari, but it was surprising for like a winter wedding in New York. Just
all of these components don't go together.
Yes. So that was the weirdest wedding, and I would say the most inappropriate in terms of it probably just should not have happened.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe before you even start planning the wedding, there's the question of, is this an appropriate wedding to have? Or should there be a, we've decided that we would like to combine our finances, let's go down to the courthouse.
Yeah, well, it sounds like she really wanted to wear a big poofy white dress. Maybe she didn't get to do that in her first marriage.
Or second.
Oh, that was her third?
Yes.
Maybe she did it all three. I bought this dress. I'm going to wear it two more times.
Yeah. Your dress was my favorite wedding dress of all time.
Oh, thanks.
It was not poofy.
No.
Do you think that brides should wear white?
You know, that is a custom that actually hasn't been around for very long. That was something that, before Queen Victoria, who wore a white wedding dress, brides didn't wear white. They would wear whatever, most of the time they'd just wear their, like, church clothes, their nicest clothes.
But Queen Victoria, she would be, like, 700 years old. No, I'm kidding. Elizabeth's been around a few hundred years, and that was her mom, right?
Yeah, well, Victoria, she just died a couple of years ago.
Oh, see, I have extensive knowledge of British history from watching The Crown.
She was, like, one of the oldest living monarchs, and now maybe Elizabeth is passing her. But, yeah, Victoria, I mean, you know, she's so on top of trends, just setting them left and right. But, yeah, this idea of a bride wearing white symbolizes purity. You know, Queen Victoria was all about modesty and whatever, but apparently she was a tiger in the bedroom.
Really?
Well, she had, like, 10 kids. That lady liked to get busy with Albert. So, yeah, I would say that I think we're starting to see a trend where fewer brides are going to be wearing white. Again, a lot of people aren't getting married right out of college or right out of high school, like, generations of past. And when you're in your 30s, you might still be a virgin.
You might.
You might not be, but also, whose fucking business is that?
It's like, oh, sure, a white wedding dress. That probably looks fantastic on the cover of Vogue. But mm-hmm. when you're at a function where there's food and wine and dancing, I'm worried about spills. So.
Yeah, it's also kind of like the only time you're gonna wear a white dress, because it's not a practical color. It's not going to be the most flattering color that you could pick, right?
No.
And so it's also going to be the most expensive dress that you'll probably ever buy. It just has a lot of things going against it. Of course, if you want to wear your traditional white wedding dress, it's up to you. Every bride should pick what she feels comfortable in.
Well, let me talk about my imaginary wedding.
Okay.
I am going to be sweating because that's what I do. I'm doing it right now. Mm-hmm. So any dress that I put on, like, I need to be concerned about sweat marks. Is this something brides are worried about?
Yeah, I mean, brides are worried about it, sure. Yeah.
Well, white probably doesn't show it that badly. Other
depends. I mean, I would say the type of fabric.
Oh, yeah, like a silk dress.
You definitely don't want to wear, like, one of those heathered gray t-shirts.
No.
That shows a lot of sweat.
I can't wear those ever. And, oh, you're going to want to dance. It's your wedding. When have you ever had, like, this many of your friends there to celebrate you?
And your armpits.
And your armpits.
Well, everything's getting really, really casual now. Like, people wear yoga pants all over the place, so maybe that will be the next step in wedding attire. Like, bride active wear.
Oh, yeah, because I've seen Facebook is always trying to get me to buy dress yoga pants.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and then I see the little ad where it's like, can your pants do this?
And they're like, doing,
and
like,
she does a split. I'm like, my pants probably can. I can't do that. Like, sure, I can stretch the legs of my pants apart. Look at them do a split. Like, put me in them. We have some limited movement.
Yeah. That's also not something I need my pants to do. I need them to be, like, an ad that would be like, can your pants not dig into your belly while you sit at your desk for 8 hours a day? that's what I want.
Yeah, how about this? When you go to remove your pants, can you remove your pants and then your underwear? Or is it all just coming off together in, like, one group that you then have to, like...
Yeah, you have to, like, detangle. Yeah.
You had a major, major breach of etiquette at your wedding, of course, in that you and Neil saw each other before the wedding.
Yeah, before the day of the wedding.
That was crazy.
Well, did you happen to look up the history as to why that is a thing to not see each other before?
I did not. I assumed it was because the man was probably still drunk.
Well, what I read, it used to be that the bridesmaids would actually wear the same dress as the bride to trick evil spirits. Like, whoa, which one do I curse? I don't know, they all look the same. And then they weren't supposed to see each other so that they couldn't run away from each other. It's some, like, prearranged marriage or something.
Mm-hmm. Because it's more awkward, like, once you're in front of other people.
Once you're walking down the aisle, seeing that person that you're getting married to for the first time, and people are there, yeah, the, like, expectation, the pressure, like, you're not going to just up and leave. But if you saw them, like, earlier that day, and mm-hmm. you had a window.
Yeah. There's too much shame once you're in the event.
Yeah, because it's your family, it's their family.
The food's out, you know, like, you don't want that to go to waste.
Right.
The trays of cookies are there.
All the cookies that you registered for.
The artichokes, everything's ready to go. You can't just leave. So you can't see the bride in case you want to ditch the bride when you see her that earlier that day.
Yeah, I would say it goes both ways. And I think, okay, I might be making this up, but it doesn't matter. And I think the groomsmen were also, they're probably there to, like, if the bride did decide to run away, that they could, like, grab her.
Are you making this up?
Maybe.
Okay. So how many groomsmen...
Do you want to data check this?
No, I don't. I want to go with it, because we're experts. So you have to have enough groomsmen...
To overpower
your bride.
Yeah.
So Neil just had the one. He was feeling pretty confident going into that one.
I know, which, you know, you shouldn't have.
Yeah. Well, you had me, so, like, I could have grabbed Neil.
Yeah, you could have grabbed Neil. I'm not worried about that. But, like, his brother is so nice.
Yeah, he would have been like, Laura, wait...
He would have just, well, he probably would have, like, tuned into my emotions.
Yeah, he would have talked to you about your feelings, fixed everything, maybe sang you a song.
Yeah.
It would have been nice.
Yeah, so I guess it was smart in that regard. If I get in the right mindset, I'm just going to push people over.
I've seen it.
Oh, here's something. If you are the mother of the bride, and you are also engaged to be married... And you go with your daughter to try on for your daughter to try on wedding dresses, and this is your daughter's first marriage. I don't know that it would be different if it weren't, but we'll just say it is. Don't try on wedding dresses that day.
I'm gonna say that goes for anyone else in the group.
You're right.
Not just, it doesn't matter if you're the mother or a friend, anyone else. If you are there for one person to try on wedding dresses, that is the only person who gets to try on wedding dresses. Everyone gets to live their own life. But at some point, people are going to be less excited that you're getting married again. So maybe take that into consideration. Oh, or as a few of our friends did, which I thought was a great idea, set up a honey fund for the honeymoon.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because millennials... They want experiences, not things.
Yeah, I loved that Abby and Christian had their honey fun for their wedding, because they already had, like, a fully stocked house.
Yeah.
And then they made it fun because they would list out, it's not just, like, give us money, but they'd be like, buy us 2 tickets to this museum. And it'd be, like, you know, $40 or whatever. But I love that, in my head, I'm like, I'm not just throwing money at them. I'm helping fund their experiences.
Yeah.
You can kind of see some of the things they wanted to do.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, I'll buy you a nice meal in Italy.
Yeah.
That's important to me, that you eat good food on your honeymoon.
Right. Like, I in no way thought that they, like, you know, shot out a couple 20s and was like, all right, I'm writing in here at Museum from Kelly. You know, it's like, yeah, it all goes into a pool. They do what they
want.
Yeah,
we get it.
Yeah, it was a great idea. And I I actually had fun shopping, if you will, for their registry. I also love that their guest list, because, oh my gosh, how do you go? You had to do it. You have to go about making a guest list at some point.
Which is, if you have any social anxiety, that is like one of the most stressful things that you have to deal with.
Yeah, they set a great rule, which is if we haven't made plans with you within the past year, you're not coming to our wedding. And I'm sure like family got exceptions to that if they weren't nearby. But it's like you start thinking, oh, my high school friend from Facebook who we chat, you know, it's like.
Yeah, and also because Abby knows so many people.
Everyone. If you're listening to this, you know Abby.
Yeah, you. Or you know someone who knows her.
Mm-hmm. I've gone over the list of the things that you weren't supposed to do that you can now do. But here are just some general rules from the etiquette goddess, Martha Stewart.
Oh, okay.
Who'd you think I was going to say?
I was like, is there a blog called the Etiquette Goddess?
No, but Martha probably has that on lockdown somewhere.
Yeah, she probably trademarked it.
She's waiting to roll out.
Yeah.
Because it's a good thing. I was reading through this, and I'm like, well, this is pretty obvious. Maybe it's not for some people. I think things are obvious, and then someone does something, and that's why we need this podcast. Because we're assuming everyone's on the same page.
Why we, as a society, need this podcast.
Some people aren't only not on the same page, they're reading the book upside down. It's problematic.
Okay, so what are some of these should be obvious things?
Don't invite someone to a pre-wedding party if you're not inviting them to the wedding.
Yeah.
I think exceptions to this can be made. So that's probably a rule for both ways, is don't invite someone if they're not going to the wedding. And if you are going to, just have that honest conversation with them about their role. Like, yeah, you're here for getting shit-faced, not for meeting family members. And honestly, I would have been fine with that.
Yeah.
Like, I know my role.
If they just said, we're having a smaller ceremony, but we would love to see you at this other wedding-related thing. Like, yeah, you gotta just communicate expectations and mm-hmm. let people know what they're walking into.
Don't include your registry information on your wedding invitation. You don't want to look like you're soliciting gifts.
Well, ooh, I did that.
See, I disagree with this. Because that's exactly my first question. Okay, it's my second question. First one is, am I free that day? Put it on my GCal. Second question, oh god, where are they registered? I feel like this is an outdated one. Because people want the information.
Maybe I didn't put it on the invite, but we had a website.
You had a website. The website's great. It says, add your registry to your wedding website and include a link on your stationery suite. I don't know what that means.
I was supposed to get separate stationery?
Stationery suite.
Yeah. Now, let me, you know, I'm a graphic designer, so let me tell you about this.
Card? No, I don't know.
It basically means, like, two or three items, so it could be letterhead, a note card, your business card?
So don't put it on the invitation, but go ahead and put that
everywhere
in your
else.
Gmail signature.
yeah.
Never invite a guest to your wedding via text message or social media platform. So wait, no Evites? Come on.
I think it's nice to have a few occasions in your life where you send out printed invites.
Absolutely.
If you're going to have kids or nieces, nephews when they get older and stuff, it's kind of a cool keepsake, yeah. Which they won't be able to see on the Facebook event.
No, you're not going to go Google that Evite and pull it back up?
Probably not.
If you send someone, I love this one. If you send someone a save the date, you must send them a wedding invite. Oh. I just love that, like, you're blue balls in someone, like.
Save the date, sucker. We're not going to tell you where it is. But here's where we're registered.
Like,
Like, they just see it getting closer and closer on their calendar, like, running out, checking their mailbox. Like, gosh! They haven't done their invites yet? Like, that's hilarious. I want to know who did that, that Martha was like, no, no, no. This was a breach of etiquette. If you know the name of your guests plus one, include it on the invitation. It'll make them feel truly welcome. Of course, if you're simply offering someone a plus one and don't know who they'll bring, and guest is fine. So does this get awkward with people who you know are, like, dating? And maybe you're a little unsure about it? Because then I could see from someone who is being the inviter, mm-hmm. like you know their girlfriend, boyfriend's name, whatever it is, but you're also like, we're 6 months from now. How would you handle that?
Well, I don't know. You just give them the and guess. You give them the option. You don't know what they're gonna. Even if they break up, if it's 6 months, maybe there's someone else.
Your RSVP return card should include postage.
Yeah, I think that's nice.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's just increasing the chances you're going to get it back. Yeah. That's for you more than them. Mm-hmm. Because if I have to go out and get a stamp, this may or may not happen.
Yeah. And now I didn't include an RSVP card. I was like, just go online and let us know.
That's also awesome, because then you can see who else is coming.
Yeah. Oh, I totally want to go to this wedding now that so-and-so's here. Who's or, who?
Oh, my ex. Oh, maybe I'm busy that day. I'm going to take a break here and ask you, did you and Neil have any issues when you were planning your wedding about differences in religion?
No. Next question. By the time Neil and I got engaged and married, we were already on the same page with, like, religion.
And you were both in a cult.
Yeah. So. We were both wearing our maroon outfits at the time.
Yeah. Always feed your wedding vendors. From your wedding planner to the band, everyone is working hard for their money. No. I get that. It's a long day for everyone.
Yeah.
You want them, you know, at their best. It certainly seems pretty easy when it's a buffet.
Yeah.
Like, hey, go grab a snack. Might end up being trickier if it's, like, a seated meal.
I know. I honestly didn't think about that. The photographers were, like, you know, with us most mm-hmm. of the day. There was a buffet, so I assume they got some food to eat, but I wasn't, like, worried about, like, having a cooler of snacks for them.
There was so much food. I'm sure anyone who was feeling hunger handled it with the, like, 8 different pies and roast beef. Carving station. That's okay. In general, wedding etiquette, have a roast beef carving station.
Like, that's what my mom basically feels. She's yeah. like, we're like, well, we have this, you know, buffet with this many things, and this, it comes with desserts. And she's like, well, your father will want a roast beef carving station. We're like, okay.
Yep. We were all on board.
Yeah. That was for my dad, apparently, who, that was the only time he weighed in on the wedding. Via my mom.
If someone sends you a gift, you must send them a thank you card.
Yeah.
Yeah, or else they're not going to buy you a gift for your second wedding.
No.
Yeah.
Now I'll admit.
Fool me once.
I tried really hard to keep up with that. At a certain point, as organized as I am, I lost track.
I imagine it's easier if things are getting shipped to your house. Maybe, yeah. Maybe, like, keep a little list or something.
And before the wedding, it's a lot easier to just, like, as you receive them, to write the thank you note. But, like, stuff that comes right around or right after the wedding, it was a lot to keep track of. You kind of lost who gave you what and if you sent the card or not. So, sorry, everyone. I'm still really appreciative.
Why don't you just thank them now?
Okay, I would like to thank everyone who did not feel thanked.
Good job.
Thanks.
In terms of sending gifts in advance, bringing a gift on the day of, is one better, or is it all yay presents, thank you, I'm appreciative?
Yeah, it's all good.
Yeah.
I'll tell you though, what was awesome is a lot of people on the day of the wedding will give you a card with a check or cash in it. And checks are awesome. But just having, we're like counting up the cash. That was a lot of fun afterwards. Mm-hmm. We're like, oh my God, $100 bill. And that's just fun.
Yeah, that's brunch money right there.
Yeah, I mean, we took it to the bank, we got it in singles, and then put it on the bed and rolled around. Thanks, guys.
And that was just the first night of your marriage.
Yeah.
Let's talk about some guest etiquette.
Guest-a-kit.
Don't RSVP yes if you're not gonna go.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think that's obvious.
Yeah. If you're unclear, have an honest conversation. You yeah. didn't have that many no-shows.
There was a guest and his plus one who RSVP'd yes and didn't show up. And then there was one where it was a guest's wife who was, quote, sick and couldn't make it. Everything is so, you know, casual. You get invited to these Facebook things and you do or you don't RSVP or blah, 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 blah. Okay. Weddings, let's keep it pretty formal and think about why are they asking you to RSVP? It's because they have to make sure that there is a chair for you to put your butt in and that there's enough food for you to eat. And wedding venues charge by the head count.
Yeah, and let's go ahead and be honest. When you find out more in advance that two people can't come, two more people get invites.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, the people on the, you know, the bench get to come in and play.
Yeah, like I got invited to, as that like second tier invite to a friend's wedding. That was kind of a weird thing. I'm like, do I invite her to my wedding now? She got like married a couple months before we did. And I'm like, but she didn't invite me at first. But I totally would have invited her if I had known those two people were just gonna like not show up ever. She could have come in.
Yeah, she probably would have shown up.
Oh, she would have shown up.
Because, you know, she understood it's a wedding. You show
yeah,
up.
She had just put one together. Yeah. She knew how that goes.
If you get a plus one, RSVP with that person's name. That way, the couple can include his or her name on the guest list, escort cards, and any other printed materials. I did not know that we were supposed to get escorts at the wedding. I brought my own date, but that would have been really nice to know that was an option.
Yeah, absolutely. We could have hired an escort for you. Yeah,
then she could have had my card.
She would hold it up in front of her, like, yeah. at the airport.
Tilliard! Come, I will escort you to the... Why is it a she?
I don't know. You made it that way.
I did. Well, we'll talk about that later. Always send your RSVP card back in a timely manner. If nothing else, make sure it's sent by the RSVP date listed on the invitation. Did people RSVP in time?
Yeah.
Good. Do you think it helps to have the website? Because people are excited to go to the website.
I have no idea. Were you excited to go to the website?
Yes. And it was like, things to do in Raleigh. I'm like, woo, what do we do?
And it was like, check out our many Harris Teeters.
Even more now. Goodbye, Kroger. If the invitation specifically says no children allowed, don't ask if you can bring your kids.
Yeah, even if they're teenagers.
Yeah.
Again, it's about paying for that seat for them to sit in.
Also, your kids don't want to be there.
No.
I remember being a kid at weddings. You know what I wanted to do? Be anywhere else. Like, it's funner to be at home with a babysitter. You can watch a movie and eat Fruity Pebbles. I don't know. What do kids do these days?
They eat cereal and pizza.
Oh, yeah.
They enjoy all the carbs that later they will be told that they're not supposed to have been eating.
I bet a lot of adults would rather do that than be at a wedding, too.
Yeah, don't ask that. Because the person planning the wedding is probably pretty, like I said, stressed out about that guest list anyway.
Yeah, kids take up... They take up space, and there are many children out there that I like. But in general, kids are annoying. Like, they gotta make it about them. Because what else is there at that point? Their world is so small. And then, I'm gonna say this. If you are told you can't bring your kids, and you show up, and there are kids there, understand and appreciate there are probably kids that are more important to the bride and groom than your children. Because you had, what, a total of 4 children at your wedding?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because they were
your nieces and nephews.
Yeah.
Niece and nephews.
Yep.
Now you have nieces and nephews. But at the time.
Yeah. And two of them were in the wedding party.
Yeah.
So that's why we invited the other two.
Well, I'm going to say, William was not in your wedding party.
He was a participant.
But he stole the show.
Yeah. As a hot dog.
As a breakdancing hot dog.
Yeah.
Here's a bunch of rules about plus ones. When I get invited to a wedding, it's like, oh, do I get to bring someone? And I appreciate it when it's an out-of-town wedding if I get a plus one. Because sure. I don't want to travel alone. It's more fun with a buddy.
Yeah.
But, like, in an in-town wedding, sure, yeah, I'll go to that alone. And then leave whenever I feel like it. I'll ghost. If your invitation specifies the name of your plus one and that person can't make it, don't bring a friend instead. It's not, you know, you were specifically invited as a couple, not, oh, we want you to bring a rando to our special day.
I'm trying to picture how that would work. Yeah, you invite a couple, and it's like, well, my husband has to stay home with the kids.
Or yeah, let's pretend that I'm getting married,
uh-huh.
So I'm going to invite you and Neil
okay.
to my wedding. It's here in the house. We're going to hang out with Anna.
Yeah.
And then you show up and you're like, this is my friend from college. Neil's at home with the cats.
Neil like, is doing a Krav workshop.
Yeah. I'm like, why is this person now in my wedding photos? Like,
yeah. That's weird. That's a weird thing.
Don't do that.
Why do you have to specify that?
Why are we telling weird. People this? That's not their name. I'll be like, I'd look at your friend and be like, you're not Neil. Neil's not even Neil, but we'll get in.
What if you invited someone who had the same name? Like your grandfather, for example.
Oh, so he was confused about which wife to bring? It's like, yeah, checks out. Like,
there's so many Christopher Whites.
There are. That's why I put Neil.
Neil White, yeah.
Yeah. And if you don't get a plus one, don't bring a plus one. This probably doesn't apply to pregnant women. Like, you get to, you know, roll in with,
yeah,
I'm eating for two. You don't still need two plates.
Yeah. Two seats. Yeah. Try not to have the baby during the wedding.
Try. If you do, not during the ceremony.
Just quietly take that outside.
Wait until the buffet. Like, arrive at the wedding events on time. It's just common courtesy, right?
Yeah, oh, common sense as well.
You'd think that, wouldn't you? You know how much anxiety I had your wedding day looking out the window when I know that we're supposed to be like walking in there and see people hustling in from the parking lot? I'm like, come on, people.
But yeah, try not to be late. And if you are, don't be distracting.
Yeah, be very discreet. Ninja. If you arrive late, you should basically be a ninja.
Yeah, and lie about it.
Mm-hmm. Like, I was...
No, I was here.
I had an emergency. Yeah, because when, like, if you see wedding starts at 7, well, your butt's in a seat by 6:50, folks. Come on, wedding starts. That doesn't mean you roll in around 7:05, like, hey.
Yeah.
Think about, well, I would say it's think not, about it like a movie, but apparently yeah. people don't know how to do that. We should cover movies.
I was going to say, though, it's not like a movie where there's trailers.
Well, now I have another idea for my imaginary wedding. Maybe there should be trailers. I'm going to show some upcoming marriages. Here's a picture of Kelly and Idris Elba. And speaking of not arriving late, don't skip the ceremony. So this is saying if you're going to go to the wedding, you have to go there for the
boring part.
Yeah, which most people are keeping pretty short.
Yeah.
So you have, what, 15 minutes of ceremony
mm-hmm.
or so, and then like an hour of what are people doing while people, you know, the wedding party and family have photos taken.
Yeah.
And then a few hours of party.
Yeah.
So yeah, it would be great to roll in for a few hours of party, but that's not the special day. Like, you have to be there for all of it.
Sure.
And there should be activities provided during the photo times
mm-hmm.
because people get bored.
Yeah. Line dancing.
Open bar.
arts and crafts.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a short film.
Make your own wedding souvenir.
Oh, there you go. Instead of you having spent hours and hours making everyone's...
napkin rings.
Napkin rings with the flower on it, which...
Which most of them got thrown away.
I took several.
Because... I'll say the staff at our wedding venue were amazing, because when that wedding was over, it was like within 3 minutes, everything in that room had been stripped. They just like took the tablecloths, bundled them up in the center, and walked away with them.
Oh, here's a fun one. Don't wear a white dress unless you're the bride.
And sometimes not even then.
Yeah, you didn't wear a white dress. Don't wear white. Are you at the beach? Just don't wear white. Well, if you're at the beach, actually, white looks quite nice. But, yeah, don't wear cream. Don't wear ivory. Don't wear mother of pearl. Like, do not wear white at someone else's wedding. Let's do a little flowchart here, okay? You guys with me? I'm drawing.
Okay. She's drawing.
Yeah, yep. Are you the bride? This is the top question at the top.
Yeah.
And then it goes yes or no.
Yes is...
You can wear white.
And no is...
Do not wear white.
Okay.
You got that?
Straightforward.
Okay. Oh, okay, I'm going to break this one. This is the rule that I'm going to break.
Okay.
Don't get too drunk.
Well, see? I think...
What's too drunk?
How do you define that?
Like, I actually want the ants to get too drunk. You know what I'm talking about?
The ones that don't normally drink.
Right, you get like a few glasses of wine in them.
Or like one.
And then they're your best friend.
They're telling you stuff.
They're pulling you onto the dance floor. We're all singing along to We Are Family. Like, I want that. I want that.
Too drunk.
Don't vomit.
It's different for everyone, right?
Slipskis don't vomit.
We don't vomit. But you just want to... You want to... If you're one who drinks, you want to get it to that point where you're going to be happy.
Party mode.
Yeah. Don't push it.
Yeah.
Because you might slip into, like, emotional drunk or angry drunk.
And, you know, remember, you're at an event. Have fun and hydrate. It doesn't hurt.
Yeah.
It means you can drink more. Like, keep drinking. Alternate. Alcohol, water. Alcohol, water. Keeps you going longer. I mean, you're going to have more restroom breaks, but...
Yeah.
It's for the greater good.
What about those weddings that are out on farms and stuff, and they don't have plumbing?
Well, I just don't go to those.
Yeah. But sometimes you don't realize that it won't. It'll be like, you go to this house, and you think, this is where the wedding is. What a beautiful house. And they're like, no, the party's over there in the barn.
Okay.
Actually, walk across this field in your stiletto heels to the barn.
Okay, so starters get wedges. I actually did go to one of those, and I'm trying to think about the restroom situation, and I cannot remember it. And now I'm thinking it's because it was outdoors in the summer. I don't think I ever had to use the restroom, because I think everything I was drinking in was immediately leaving my body through my pores in the form of sweat. My cousin's wedding, which was fantastic, a great weekend, probably my favorite groom's cake of all time. Kyle had a Yeti cooler.
Yes.
Groom's cake. It was awesome. Yeah,
was the cooler open or closed?
Oh, I don't remember.
I want to know if there were beer bottles.
It was open and there was beer in it. I do remember.
Okay, nice.
Yeah, it was great. So their wedding was great. The one of my favorite events, though, that weekend was the, what do you call the night before? Rehearsal dinner.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they had it was in Texas, amazing barbecue, and my uncle was like, wow, my house has 3 bathrooms. There are going to be, I don't know what, 100 people here. He ordered some porta potties and plopped them out in his driveway of his lovely lake house.
Nice.
No one used them because everyone was terrified of using a porta potty. So I basically had a clean, fresh porta potty to myself all night. It was amazing. I was like, why am I going to go into that bathroom inside that has a line?
and has been used all night, this is cleaner than the inside at this point. So that was actually one of the times, okay, that was the one time that I was really into a porta potty. So I'll say, if they're not getting used by 100 people,
they're fine.
They're fine. Yeah. So that was our first podcast.
Hopefully the beginning of many more to come.
Yeah. We're going to see how much we actually liked doing this and then do more.
And do things like get Facebook and Instagram.
Yeah,
and
you guys should follow us on all of those.
Once we have it.
Yeah, we'll have it before this is actually posted. This was our test run to make sure that we didn't hate talking at a phone for a couple hours.
We do have a Gmail account.
Yes, you can email us on the Gmail, which is the Google Mail.
Yeah. At effingetiquette.com.
Yep. I'm not going to tell you how to spell it. I'm still not entirely sure.
Yeah. In theory, it will be on your podcast list, and you can just look at that.
Right. Yep. Yep. Laura is working on a great design for us.
Yeah.
You'll have seen it at this point. Yeah. So thank you all for listening. We hope that you're going to look forward to our future episodes as much as we are, or even half as much, which will still be enough for us. So yeah, go out there into the world and just be considerate.
Consider it. We nailed that.
Yeah.